And Massey hits it high and deep to right field. Sheets is back. He is all the way back, and it's over his glove. And Michael Massey has done it again to the White Sox.
Michael Massey with his 13th homer of the season, and back-to-back homers from the standpoint of back-to-back games. He had home runs. Royals win two in a row. Look out. And they win 7-1 in Chicago last night. And Alec Marsh gets his first win as he came in after the opener. Steven Cruz went 4 1/3, gave up one run. Royals 46-101 on the season. They have today off before heading back home to start a three-game series against the Astros, who are fighting for their playoff lives, trying to win their division again in the AL West. All right, local sports. Dusty, you got Athlete of the Week and much more.
Yes, Mason Baker, Thunder Ridge Senior, has been named the IntercastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. He had an outstanding start to the 2023 season for the Longhorns, helped lead them to their first victory of the season on Friday night as Thunder Ridge beat Rock Hills 46-0 in Kensington. And Baker carried the ball 15 times for 190 yards and 5 touchdowns. Also threw a touchdown pass and caught a pass on a 4th and 22 play that set up another Thunder Ridge score. On defense, Baker added 6 tackles in the win. He also had a great individual game in the season opener against Alma, Nebraska, September 1st, despite a loss for the Longhorns. He ran for 267 yards and 2 scores, threw for another 132 and 3 touchdowns, and on the season, he's now rushed for 467 yards, 7 touchdowns, added 162 yards and 3 touchdowns passing. Congratulations again to Mason Baker. Thunder Ridge Senior named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. If you'd like more information about how to nominate an Athlete of the Week or read more about it, you can visit NCKSSports.com. We'll announce the winners each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sport. Also, the schedule for today in high school sports: Clay Center Cross Country Invitational at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Beloit and Concordia will be competing there from the area. Also, the Bennington Invitational at 4:30. Lincoln, Southern Cloud, and Tipton. And the Smith Center Invitational going on today at 4:30 as well. Lakeside, Osborne, Smith Center, St. John's, and Thunder Ridge competing from the area. We also have high school football locker room chats coming up this evening around 5:15 as we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills. And they'll be on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. If you ever missed those locker room chats, you can go back and listen to them on the locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com as well. High school football tomorrow night. We have the Football Express presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable, which will begin around 5:40 as we'll preview all the area league matchups. Then on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com, online video stream at the Bullet Trojan channel at ncksports.com, Bullet at Republic County at 6:30, pregame kickoff 7. And then Z96.3, we have Logan Palco at Lakeside. You can also listen online at katycountry94.com. And we'll conclude the night with the local high school football scoreboard show presented by State Farm Insurance in Beloit and Osborne. Again, we'll give you the scores and recap the games there tomorrow night, 10:05, Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. I'll catch you up with what's going on right now, really locally. One other high school note we do want to pass along, and I don't know if this is going to affect local a lot, but it was approved last night by the Kansas State High School Activities Association Board of Directors, an increase in the amount of games baseball and softball teams are allowed to play. Proposal was brought to the board to play up to 26 regular season games. Currently, teams are allowed to play 20 games in a season. In baseball, the board voted 42-17 in favor, and in softball, it was even a higher vote at 48-11 in favor of the change. That change is effective immediately. I actually did talk with Coach Cox of Beloit and some other baseball coaches actually in the spring about this when it was kind of brought to the table, and it's kind of difficult for teams around here to schedule anyway. So you get up to 20 and then you have makeup dates that, you know, rain comes in, postpones games. What I'm saying is I'm not expecting a lot of area teams to be playing more than 20 games, despite the fact that they actually can. We'll see if it happens or not. It's not going to happen this year. Schedules are already done. And I know it's effective immediately, but I just don't see many of the area schools playing more games than they're.
Well, that's not necessarily true. The schedule's done, but you can add to it now.
You could add to it, yeah.
So
but I don't know. I don't know that.
I don't think a lot of
ADs around here are going to do it because they don't really need to do it.
I agree with that. But to say that they're locked down, no, they're not.
No, they're not. That's why I said last day, like Wichita and stuff, they'll add to their schedule and they'll do it. Yeah,
they're going to it. And maybe a smaller school, you know, maybe a Beloit will pick up one date somewhere and they'll have 22 games. I mean, that's possible because I know the last few years of Beloit baseball, my son's a member of the team, so that's why I know these things, is that late in the year, they go like a full week before they get to postseason play. Like, so there could easily you could schedule something in there so you're not rusty. Now, I think sometimes you leave that open in case you're going to have postponements and rainouts, and sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And the other thing is, you know, in these bigger cities, they have field turf.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could have a monsoon of rain on a Wednesday, and we're supposed to play baseball at Beloit on a Thursday. Well, it's sunny and beautiful outside on a Thursday. Well, the field's not in condition to be played on because we had too much rain. The bigger city, big deal. As soon as the rain's over, it'll take care of itself or whatever. Or it'll dry out. We got turf. We're ready to play later in the day or the next day. So there's, you know, once again, there's bigger advantages for some of the bigger cities and schools. And this is a rule to me that is basically appeasing to the bigger city schools that have been clamoring for it. And that's fine. That's fine. You guys play as many baseball games as you want. I don't have a problem with it. Softball's the same way. But for the smaller schools, there's not enough arms. You're going to kill kids' arms if you keep adding too many games, and the coaches around here know that. And there's not enough dates, and there's not enough good facilities.
There's not enough opponents, unless you're going to travel a long way.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right.
And those are the things that I talked with.
It's harder to make up stuff with bad weather because of the facilities if you have a grass field compared to turf. And dates can be a problem, and one of the reasons dates can be a problem is you don't want – if you have plenty of players on a team and plenty of arms with the bigger classifications, it's no problem to play three doubleheaders in a week because you got enough arms to pitch all those innings. You can rotate them through. That's not the case with the smaller schools.
Yeah, it's all of these things are the things that I talked about with Coach Cox and actually a couple other coaches that I just discussed stuff with on Twitter, right? And it's a good practice, and it's great for the bigger cities if they can do it and get it done, right?
Yeah.
But it's just there's not enough baseball and softball around here to really be able to even, like I say, it's difficult for teams to find 20 right
sometimes
now.
Sometimes,
I mean, I know softball for some and then baseball for even the smaller schools than Beloit,
right?
It's very difficult to get the 20 on their schedule. There's plenty of them that have 18.
No, I agree. And just because they approved this doesn't mean schools have to go to 26 games. And secondly, nobody should be mad about it because it's really up to the school to play as many games as they want up to 26. If you choose to play 24 and another school plays 20, you know, does it give you a leg up in the seeding if you're 24-0 versus 20-0? I guess it does. At the same time, you play extra four games, you're taking six more chances to lose and cost yourself seeding. It could work either way.
Read the story at Case You Covered from Brent Maycock, and it'll show you that Kansas, even at 26, is still below all the states around the area.
That's right. We went through that a few months ago. Like, I think, was it Iowa that's like 40-something?
Yeah. There's the list is all there on the story there. Check it out, ncastsports.com. It'll take you to that story, but it's kind of crazy just to look at it all and see that
the difference
of games in Kansas compared to the other states.
Absolutely. All right, week two of the NFL season gets underway tonight as the Vikings and Eagles meet in Philadelphia. The Vikings are 0-1. The Eagles are 1-0. Vikings lost to the Buccaneers at home. The Eagles won on the road in New England. Eagle fans will be going nuts. They're the defending NFC champions. Kickoff at 7:15 on Amazon Prime Video. I had somebody last week really worried that the Chiefs game they couldn't get because it was on Thursday, which they thought meant Amazon Prime Video. I said, no, this is a season opener. This will be on regular TV. Oh, that's so awesome. Guess what? That ended now. That's not the case tonight. You have to have Amazon Prime Video to watch the Eagles and the Vikings, which should be a good game. Last year they met and the Eagles smoked the Vikings. So the Vikings are in danger of starting year 0-2. I think the Eagles will play much better offensively than they did last week against the Patriots. The Chiefs are getting ready for week two of their season this Sunday against the Jaguars in Jacksonville. You can listen to that one with pregame on Sunday at 11 a.m. on Z96.3 The Lake, kickoff at noon. You're home for the Chiefs in north central Kansas as the Chiefs are 0-1. Jaguars are 1-0. They weren't super impressive in the win over the Colts, but it was a road win. You don't apologize for winning on the road. And the Chiefs now hopefully have Travis Kelce back ready to go on Sunday. We don't know that for sure. We had Southern Petro 810 WHB in Kansas City on with us yesterday, hosted the program weekdays from 2 to 6. He's a much closer situation we are, and we asked him about Travis Kelce, and he said, your guess is as good as mine. Eric Berry was week to week and he didn't even play until like the last week of the season. Mm-hmm. And they said that week one. So he goes, your guess is as good as mine. Rick Burkholder, the athletic trainer, when he's up to answer questions, runs over people almost literally to get out of the room before he's asked questions. He just kind of states, here's the injury or whatever, and he hightails it out of there. So he says, you know, listen, it's a leg injury. It could end up being 4 to 6 weeks. He might be ready to go this week. And you do start to wonder with the wear and tear on Travis Kelce's legs. He's 33 or 34 now. He's had 200 more offensive snaps over the last, I think, 5 years, they said, than any other NFL player. You do have to sit here and say to yourself, and that's part of the wear and tear is a good thing in regards to you're going to the Super Bowl or the AFC title game every year. I mean, and he's been durable. Hasn't missed a game due to injury since 2013 until week one this year against the Lions. But sometimes you have guys that are so durable for so long, and then they have that first injury, and then they just break down. They just are never the same player. Seren talked about it. And the data shows that Travis Kelce has slowed down each of the last 3 years. But he's so cerebral, and he's so smart, and he's so good at his routes, and he knows where to be for Mahomes. But he's not as fast as he once was at all. It's actually been declining. And that's Father Time wins every time, period. It eventually catches up to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. It catches up to everybody. And Travis Kelce, how long can he get by with that as he declines, you know, physically? He talks about how he can't even lift his arm above his head all the way because of the shoulder injuries and surgeries he's had. Mm-hmm. So now if you got a ball above his head, apparently that's going to be hard for him to even try to catch. And that's the wear and tear and what you have to deal with as a football player at really any level, for that matter. That's contact. And that's why I'm not a big fan of having a whole bunch of contact football in third, fourth, and fifth and sixth grade, I think, is almost questionable. Third and fourth grade, I don't think should happen. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm right or wrong. I just know that I know from experience, both as a parent and as a athlete myself, that and I can definitely tell you what happens with the college and professional athletes, that wear and tear catches up to you. Your body can only take so many hits. Your body, you know, if you play, for instance, fifth and sixth grade full contact football, and you play all the way through high school, that's 8 years of contact football. That's a lot. Now, that doesn't even count if you go to college and play. Now imagine going pro and playing. And that don't even count if you played contact football in third, fourth, and first and second grade. Some places in America play full contact in first and second grade. And you do see these really bad situations of players that are so beat up they can't even play with their kids when they get older. Mm-hmm. You got the CTE factor. No question about that. NFL's tried to make things safer. I give them some credit to that, although some of it was kind of forced upon them because of threatened lawsuits and this and that. And so the point I'm trying to make is whether you start playing football as a freshman, whether you start playing football as a seventh grader, if you start playing full contact football when you're in third grade, fifth grade, first grade, if you play long enough, you're going to have injuries that are going to hurt you because of football. Now, you can play a ton of basketball, and yep, you might develop some arthritis in your knees, or you know, you can have injuries in other sports. There's no question about that. But we know that football is a way more violent sport than baseball and basketball and volleyball, all right? And any of the sports at the high school level. We know this. That's a fact. Anybody that wants to argue with you on that one just simply wants to argue to argue. So Travis Kelce is a human being, and his body is, and Mahomes will go through it too eventually. He'll slow down. His arm may start to not be as strong as it once was. He might not be able to zip a pass in there. You know, his thinking might be great, but he might not be able to get out of the pocket to make that throw anymore because he's just a step slower as he gets older. It happens to everybody. Nobody is a miracle worker. Travis Kelce at some point will not be a member of this team, and Mahomes will be the quarterback. And the Chiefs need to at some point find an heir apparent. I saw people talking yesterday. I thought it was a very interesting point. Kyle Pitts is being totally, I don't want to say misused. He's a great talent with the Falcons who's getting open and nobody throws him the ball. Mm-hmm. Dear God, Kyle Pitts would be a great guy for the Chiefs, you know, if they could go trade for him at some point. If the Falcons want to walk from him, the problem, the Falcons is they're in a bad division where they could be 8-9 and have a shot at it. Mm-hmm. They might, you know, maybe later in the year, the Chiefs, you know, worked out a trade with Kadarius Toney. Tony. Maybe if the Falcons are really bad, you know, halfway through the season, maybe the Chiefs make a trade. I mean, get Kyle Pitts. I would be great. I'd be ecstatic about that, because you eventually need somebody to replace Travis Kelce. It happens. We see this with every single position. We're gonna have to find somebody to replace Chris Jones. This maybe as soon as next year. You're gonna have to find somebody to replace, you know, Isaiah Pacheco in probably 3 years, because running back shelf lives aren't very long. Justin Reed replaced Tyrann Mathieu. We just continue to rotate those things, right? We've got George Kalaftis replacing Frank Clark. I mean, we can go through the list over and over. Nick Bolton replaced, goodness gracious, you know, the Chiefs had an older linebacker there for a while, forgot who he replaced. Anthony Hitchens. So it happens. You have turnover, and that's going to happen with whether you like it or not. It's going to happen at the tight end position at some point. So Kelce, don't know for sure if he's going to play Sunday. I think he will, don't know. But we do know that Chris Jones is supposed to play. He is back. He ended his holdout, and here's Chris Jones talking to media yesterday about being back.
I kind of made that decision not to come to camp. I didn't want to be a distraction of holding in. And I'm super pleased with how it turned out. You know, I'm back in the building. I'm excited to be back. Thankful for the organization. They was able to boost my salary up to make up for the fines and everything. I'm super grateful for that. And we're focused on winning the next game. But, yeah, we're looking for a bounce back week.
So Chris Jones was talking about the holdout process. Is there anything he would change during this whole thing? I know if I were him, I would.
I'll probably change some things. When you have a lot of new guys, it's kind of tough to be away, especially in the D-line room. Building their chemistry is important to be successful as a group. But, you know, those are decisions you have to live with. I wouldn't probably change it, but I'm grateful for how it turned out. I'm thankful for the Hunt family and Brett Veach and Coach Reed working with my team closely to making sure we ensure that we're able to come up to terms with something that we both can agree on.
And then what about being in the suite, in the stands, at the stadium for the first game when the Chiefs lost to the Lions?
It all felt crazy. First time I ever sat in my suite. See what I paid so much money for a year for. food was great, though. Food was amazing. But it was a different viewpoint. You know, I got to see it from a fan's point of view. I see how the fans be like, y'all have us stressed out the whole game. I was kind of biting my nails and everything the whole game.
And then what about his future? Because it's a one-year reworked deal. He can be a free agent at the end of the season, or the Chiefs could tag him.
I can't look for it to next year. I'm glad to be back this year. This is my last year. Hopefully we can get something worked out after the year for long term. I reiterated multiple times. I plan to play for the Kansas City Chiefs for the long haul of my career. That doesn't change because of this, the past situation. And we focus on Jacksonville, man. We're focused on Jacksonville.
Okay. You can say all of that. That's fine and dandy. You said that after you won the Super Bowl. I want to be a Chief. If you want to be a Chief, you should have taken 2 years, $55 million. So that's a load of crap. Sorry. I hear Chris Jones say that. That's a bunch of hogwash. If you wanted to be a Chief for the next 3 years, all you had to do was agree. That's it. According to all reports and people close, the Chiefs had a 2-year, $55 million extension on the table, and you turned that down, and now you're going to get, maybe if you're lucky, an extra $3.5 million to five in incentives. And two are about a 10% chance of happening, tied to the Chiefs' success and him being Defensive Player of the Year or All-Pro, and the Chiefs winning or getting to the Super Bowl. He should fire his agents immediately, because it's a horrible, whatever advice they gave him, it was horrible. Or maybe they gave him the right advice and he ignored it, and he's the one that's the silly person here. Once again, don't blame him for trying to get more money. Don't blame him for trying to get an extension. But he went too far. He went too far and overplayed his hand, he and his agents. And he sits here and says, I want to be a Chief, you know, and he says these things. I want to be a Chief for life. I want to be a Chief for the rest of my career. You said the same thing after the Super Bowl, and then you held out. If you really truly want to be a Chief, play your final year, your deal, and work out, let your agents work out something while you play this year. That would be the actual really real nice way to do it. But I understand it's a business. So you played the holdout card. Okay, it works for some people. Didn't work for you. If you really truly wanted to be a Chief, you could have got a significant raise and you'd be locked in for 3 years, this year and the next two, according to all reports. So that falls on deaf ears with me. You want to be a Chief as long as you are paid what you want to be paid.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Which, I just come out and say it. Be honest. I think that would be appreciated. Nowadays, just hard to come up with. It's hard to find honesty. Anyway, Andy Reid on his relationship with Chris Jones since he held out.
Yeah, Chris and I have talked, and so there wasn't any personal thing going on there between us or that. It was just he made a business decision, and so that's, you know, that's part of this thing. And I'm old, so I've been through a lot of those. And that, those things happen, so I'm able to separate it. I think he's separated it, and he's back in. He's got a good attitude, ready to go.
Two best things come out of this, obviously. One, for people that think it's a major distraction, if you believe in that, that distraction is now gone, okay? And then secondly, obviously, he's a very good football player, and hopefully he can make an impact coming up on Sunday against the Jaguars. I have seen guys over the years hold out, and then, boom, jump into playing football and get hurt within a few weeks. And it's like, maybe you needed preseason. Maybe you needed training camp. We shall see. Hopefully he'll stay healthy. But I would put the odds of Chris Jones being a Chief, other than a one-year franchise tag deal that he probably is going to fight if the Chiefs did that anyway. If the Chiefs let him walk as a free agent, which is what Seren thinks they'll do, they'll get a compensation third-round draft pick. And he said, listen, if the Chiefs could have traded him for more better than a third-round draft pick, they would have already done it. And obviously nobody wants to give up more than a third for a guy that's about to be 30, mm-hmm. even though as good as he is. But you also got to factor in they got to give a lot of money. Nobody apparently in the league wants to give Chris Jones a ton of money and a second or first round draft pick. So the Chiefs can easily say, okay, we worked out this deal, give you some incentives. You're motivated to play hard, or you're motivated to help us win a Super Bowl, because that's part of the incentives is us winning the Super Bowl. And, oh, by the way, at the end of the year, we'll let you walk. Or maybe if we decide it's in the best interest of the team, we'll tag you and then we'll trade you, because maybe then they believe somebody will give them a second round pick. But the Chiefs don't think they can get better than a third round pick. More than likely, they're not going to give him $30 million a year or more. They're going to walk, and he's going to be a free agent, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and he's going to sit here and, you know, tell us, I always wanted to be a Bronco, or whatever it is, or whoever he's going to sign next year. But Seren feels very strongly that, you know, this is the last year for Chris Jones, and the Chiefs will get their third-round draft pick, and it's going to be hard for him to follow up the year he had last year. I mean, he's got big shoes to fill of his own this year to even get, I mean, for him to be a year older, which is what he'll be at the end mm-hmm. of this year, and he probably won't have the year he had last year statistically. If nobody's willing to give more than a third-round pick now and give him a big deal in a trade and offer the Chiefs, why would they do it after this season? So maybe Chris Jones again will be sitting there going, son of a buck, why didn't I take those 2 years, $55 million on the table? I could have been locked down for the next 2 years. Now, the flip side is he goes out and he plays, and he is a defensive player of the year. He's a force. He's a monster. He has 16 sacks, 17 sacks. He's all pro. And the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, and then the Chiefs maybe will get more for him, or he'll be a free agent, and he'll get $35 million. It could work out that way, but let me tell you something. To me, the percentages and all the odds are in favor or are not in favor of Chris Jones.
Of being with the Chiefs.
Of being in the Chiefs. Forward, yeah. And getting the big deal, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. I kind of just want to see how it plays out this year. I think there's all kinds of scenarios that could happen after this season. I think a lot of it depends on what he does, obviously, sure. on the field. So it's hard for me to say I don't think he's going to be with the Chiefs next year, or that the Chiefs won't get anything for him. They'll just let him walk. I don't know how all that's going to work out.
Like I said, if they let him walk, they get a third-round draft pick.
Yeah. And so,
they know that's the bar. Yeah. So if they can't get more than a third-round draft pick, there's no point in tagging him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get that. But, you know, if they can, or if they feel like he performed well enough and they can tag him and he'll
try
to
work out some kind of extension.
Yeah.
Or a 1 year deal, maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean,
most players don't want 1 year deals.
No. I mean, playing on the tag is going to give him way more money than he's getting this year.
Which would hurt the Chiefs next year in the cap.
If they want to do that, yeah.
Right.
And so I'm going to let this. It's hard to predict what's going to happen this year. There are all kinds of scenarios.
All I know is if Vegas has an over-under on 15.5 sacks for Chris Jones, I'm taking the under.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's already one game short.
Yeah,
he's not going to play a full game of snaps like he usually does. I highly doubt this Sunday.
Yeah.
So it'd be like you'll probably miss basically half a game based on snap count. I could be wrong, but we shall see.
Yeah.
He says he's in shape. He's been working out. That's not the same as playing football. I do know that. 9:35 is our time, 63 degrees. Brian Haney, voice of Jayhawks, is on the way.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.